Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Nuclear weapons in the 21st century, post Cold War. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague Peter Husey, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, to comment not only on Vladimir Putin's remarks in his speech from Moscow about Ukraine conflict and the future, but also this report. Russia reportedly launched an intercontinental ballistic missile ICBM test while Joe Biden was in Ukraine. The U.S. president made a surprise visit. Moscow is believed to have been informed of Mr. Biden's presence, and Moscow is believed to have informed the U.S. that it was going to test a missile called Satan 2. The test is said to have failed. Peter, a very good evening to you. The president of Russia spoke of the New START treaty, the test of the Satan 2 at the same time. Look well-timed. What is New START? How does it connect to strategic weapons such as this hypersonic missile test, Satan 2? Good evening to you.
And good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. The New START treaty is the existing treaty that controls a significant portion of Russia and the United States' long-range ballistic missile warheads and platforms, submarines, bombers, and ICBMs. For the Russians, about 50% of their nukes are not controlled under New START. About 95% of ours are, because we have very little, we have few theater systems, a couple, 200 warheads roughly in Europe, while Russia is anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000. So that's the current treaty. And as you know, Russia has, Mr. Putin said he's suspending Russia's compliance with the treaty, which you can't do under the treaty. You either have to leave it or stay in it. But he's decided to suspend it because he doesn't like what we're doing in Ukraine. And he says he doesn't like the inspections we're demanding of his systems, which are required under the New START treaty. And he is basically wanted to tell everybody, I'm here too, just when Mr. Biden is in Hungary and in Poland, decides to launch a rocket, one of their bigger rockets. And the fact that it failed is not an issue. He tests them all the time, and he has a very formidable nuclear arsenal.
Would New START treaty have included an inspection of the Satan 2 test, or is it only for nuclear weapons?
Well, it depends. If it's one of the missiles that is currently under the treaty, yeah, we don't inspect it. We inspect the missile if it's deployed. We tell each other when we're going to test things as a courtesy, so we make sure stuff stays out of the way because we want to know where it's landing. Okay, it could land in Russia, but we test it. It goes out in the ocean. So, no, the New START treaty doesn't stop the test, but this is, if it's a hypersonic capable weapon without a nuclear warhead, the ICBMs are hypersonic speed anyway. That's just five times the speed of sound, or about 3,000 kilometers an hour. So they're already, they know how to do that. The question is whether they do it with a conventional missile that they can launch that's not covered by the New START treaty.
I see. Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, New START was the only major remaining arms control agreement between the United States and Russia. Does Russia's suspension of participation, whatever that means, does that end the world's arms control architecture, or can there be some further progress under different circumstances?
Well, my view is that the point of arms control is transparency. I know what you have, and I know where you're going. The thing is that with half of the Russians' nuclear systems not even covered by the treaty, it's at best a help, but it doesn't give us the whole story. And the problem with the Russians is they universally cheat on every agreement they've ever signed, whether the deal is over Ukraine or whether it's over nuclear weapons. They always violate these treaties. And they do it as a natural course of events, because they often tell us at negotiations that, well, you cheat too, don't you? So it is difficult to figure out how we go from here. If China has 1,500 in a decade, and North Korea, people are saying they're going to have 100 to 200, and you add those together and add to what Russia already has, Russia and China, North Korea company would have somewhere north of 7,000. The United States, even counting the ones we don't have in the field but are in storage, we have 3,600. Add in Britain and France, and you're still under probably 4,000. So armed control now becomes an extraordinarily difficult thing, because what leverage do we have to bring a 2-to-1 disadvantage back down to some normal level? Because we don't just have Russia and the United States or the USSR in the United States. We now have a number of other actors. Putin himself has said he wants Britain and France included in the next deal or any particular deal. And that would also say, well, okay, we'll bring in China and North Korea. I think that that's an impossible task.
Peter, my understanding of New START is that it did not speak of what are called tactical nuclear weapons or battlefield weapons. Do we know where Russia has deployed its tactical weapons?
Well, they're on there. I think I don't have a clearance to tell you that. Okay. But the fact is that I think we know roughly. The intelligence services have said 1,900 to 2,000. Other people like Mark Snyder thinks it's closer to 4,000. The Russians at one point had tens and tens of thousands, which we helped under the Nunn-Lugar program actually dismantle. So how many they have, Gordon is and John, is a guess, a minimum of two. And I think Mark Schneider's view of 4,000 is more likely. And they are of all different ranges and sizes. And you got to go back to Mr. Yeltsin, who in 1999 said in a decree, said, build me highly accurate, small yield battlefield nuclear weapons that I can use for coercion and political blackmail to push people around to get them out of the business of challenging what we want to do as a country. And Mr. Putin, as you know, became president not too long after that decree was issued. And he has implemented that decree by going out and building a lot of new nuclear systems, which the Russians have the capability of building, as I think someone once said, they're punching these out like sausages.
So we right now know that Russia regards its tactical nuclear weapons as part of its arsenal to defend Russia. Right now, we don't know.
Well, more than that, Gordon, it's much, John, it's also, if you look at his escalate to win strategy that Putin has laid on the table, he believes that the use of nuclear weapons for coercive purposes, for aggression, serves the purpose of getting us to stand down in a fight, not even come to the table, not even come to the battlefield, so that he can have an unfettered ability to basically change borders as he sees fit. My worry is that China also has adopted that exact same escalate to win strategy with respect to Taiwan and the South China Sea. They've succeeded in the South China Sea. Whether they end up attacking Taiwan, I don't know. But I think Gordon will tell you that the chances are pretty high. Over the next 5 years or so, we have a Air Force general who said he thought that there would be a war sometime between now and by 2025.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes.
So, Peter, China has been making threats to use nuclear weapons preemptively, just like Putin has.
Yes.
Do you see the spreading? The North Koreans have started in the business. The Iranians would make these threats, except they don't have nukes yet. Where do you see all of this heading?
Well, let's go back to Deng Xiaoping in 1981. He decided deliberately to spread nuclear weapons technology to North Korea and Pakistan and through the Khan network to Libya, to Iran, which, thank God, they were incompetent in Libya and in Iraq, too. Iran, on the other hand, is the IAEA just said, the UN said just recently, they've now enriched up to the highest level ever. And the former inspector general of the IAEA, who inspected the Iranian facilities, believes that they can build enough material for six nuclear weapons in about 30 days. So basically what the Chinese and Russians are doing, they're playing nuclear roulette. They really do believe that nuclear chips at the poker table internationally serves their purposes. I think it's a highly dangerous game. It's a reckless game. It's something we've not faced before, because we're now talking about two peer-related nuclear challenges from Russia and China. And to me, that it is becomes extraordinarily dangerous. And it's no time for America to, you know, relinquish or retreat. But unfortunately, I'm not sure how tough this administration will be with respect to both Russia and China.
30 seconds, Peter. I believe what you're saying is that there's a nuclear arms race now, not in the future. It's underway. Is that correct?
Yeah, but we're not racing. We're under the New START treaty. We're only building what we're allowed to build. We're replacing things one for one. The Chinese are racing ahead, as Admiral Richard said, in a breathtaking manner. And my belief is the Russians are too outside the treaty. And I think they're probably violating the treaty. And that's what Putin's announcement is, to prepare us for basically surprise, surprise. I don't have 1,550 warheads. I actually have 3,000. And when he does that, I don't know, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Peter Husey of the Hudson Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.